the coolest thing is that they provide opportunities for people who want to experiment on a skill and actually use this as a starting point for them to initiate something cool.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I am here in Christchurch, New Zealand, interviewing the most innovative, incredible women in tech, making this city thrive. I know a lot of you probably are aware that they had an earthquake years ago and that it's all this stigma. And I am here, and let me tell you, this is a hip city. It's a must-visit city. It's awesome. Hello, Erica.
Hello.
So you're a part of this movement in progressing the city forward.
Yes, I am. And it's very exciting, like you said. Christchurch is a very interesting and transitional place to be in, and I'm excited to be here.
So go ahead and formally introduce all of us to who you are.
So my background is in architecture. I studied in Auckland, New Zealand. And when the earthquake hit, I was in my sort of last years in my master program. Mm-hmm. And it really got me hooked because through architecture school, you know, you start to understand how a building puts together and how people are utilizing spaces. But right. Designing a city is just so exciting.
Yeah.
And so through my master's sort of course, I actually realized that architecture wasn't just designing buildings. It was really helping to grow the social rebuild as well as the physical rebuild in conjunction to make the social and environmental impact that we wish to have.
Wait, wasn't it okay, we just had Architecture Day in Los Angeles. Is that a global thing?
It's a global thing, but in different cities you have different architectural themed things. So, yeah.
So introduce to us how, so who I was talking to in Los Angeles, she heads up the Los Angeles Architecture Day event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was adamant about describing the difference between UI and UX to me and how important that is.
Yep.
Tell me about how technology and architecture merge.
So it's very interesting over the last few years and being in Christchurch and seeing everything grow, you can realize that a lot of people have started with physical outcomes, but as technology grows and advances, people are starting to shift their spatial creation into the digital realm.
Right.
So personally, I have a HTC Vive at home where we can play with VR, and it's very interesting to really help us understand how a digital model works on the computer, right, but putting it into a actual space, yeah, and how we actually interact with the space. So
cool.
It's amazing, yeah, how much you you experience in those spaces that you think you've designed well.
Right. Right.
And once you've experienced it, you reveal all of the issues of the, you know, like even if you're designing a table that is like 10 mil off,
yeah,
you feel that in that virtual realm.
I know this is like slightly different, but I was on the call with someone today, a company that I use, and they changed their full-on design of their entire website, and mm-hmm, I hate it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did you ruin my experience?
Oh, no.
And so it's funny because I'm sure the development team thought they're making things better, but they didn't try it out on the customers they made the user's life harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
And being an architect, you know, like you have this humongous responsibility, and you have the liability of making the actual outcome work.
Right.
So why not use technology to help in between to understand those spaces and work with the clients, right, to develop the spaces they actually need?
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so when did you first fall in love with technology? Sounds so cheesy the way you say that.
Well, the funny thing was I'm still a very manual person. Like I still keep a handwritten diary.
Yeah.
But I think
ditto, by the way.
Yeah. And I love doodles, and I love that sort of like pen on paper sort of processing. But I think what technology really helps me is to collaborate with other people. And with a lot of the architectural stuff that I do and a lot of community engagement, I think technology really helped me understand the processes of working remotely with a team, and really help our communication advance forward. And also being able to clearly define our roles and our expectations has hugely helped. And I think it was I think when I first left school, I was introduced with a lot of different softwares, and I just pushed back. I was like, no way I'm using all of these. And it really helped me when our team introduced Slack.
We use Slack.
I think like after being introduced with Slack, I was like, actually, we can continuously and regularly communicate without making certain decisions. But when we have a real good sort of outcome, we communicate through external channels through email. And so it's really, really helping me understand that sort of workflow. And allows me to still doodle and process it in my own manual manner.
And you've created your own company. Can you tell us about that?
So EA Curation is based on combining my background in architecture and my 4 years in growing the startup and entrepreneurial community here in Christchurch, and also my sort of creativity, my my love for photography, and also my love and passion for events making. And through all of those experiences, I am able to help different clients, depending on what their project is, to create their experience they want for their community.
And tell us a little bit about how is the startup culture here in Christchurch? What's going on with it? How many people do you see coming to the events or interested? And one thing I was talking about in an interview earlier is the culture here in New Zealand is very much about making time to play. Mm-hmm. It prioritizes play, which I think is amazing, but it's totally counterintuitive to the hustle and fail fast kind of American startup way. So what is the startup culture like here?
So I've been here for 5 years, and through these 5 years seen from Auckland.
Yeah.
So after I graduated from my architecture school, I came to Christchurch because I want to be on the ground doing rebuild work again with the social side as well as the physical side. But when I came here, there was no startup scene. There was no sort of community around entrepreneurial thinking. The city was 80% of the city's doomed to be demolished, and no one wants to come into the city. So I got involved with an organization, which I'm currently still at, is called the Ministry of Awesome.
Yeah.
And they are the starting point for early stage entrepreneurs. But when it first started, it was all about bringing people back into the city, starting to share ideas.
Right.
And it was just any idea. It could be a project. It could be a physical sort of, you know, like community garden. It could be a business. It could be a social enterprise. And through time, with these regular gatherings that we have on Tuesdays called Coffee and Jam, which we ran still.
Coffee and Jam.
Yeah, Coffee and Jam.
I think I overheard you guys talking about that. Yeah.
And it's really about growing that sort of safe space and providing that safe platform for people to express their ideas. And we don't want to see people who are, you know, further along their journey. We want people who have thought about, hey, I have this idea, but I don't know how to achieve it.
Yeah.
To share at these forums so people can come together collectively to offer support for these people.
And let me just emphasize, I think it's not the exact platform that this was intended for to talk about like the city and growing, but I just think it's really important because everybody kept telling me, oh no, Christchurch, it was like ruined in the earthquake, and I'm here and I'm literally in a really dope space right now.
Yes.
I was in a really dope space yesterday. Have you been to Littleton, the comic cafe?
Yeah.
It's so cool with the garden up above. Tell us about where we're standing right now. What does this place represent and how did it come to be?
So Exchange Christchurch came about because there was a need for a workspace for creatives. And actually, funny thing, Camille Young, the the co-founder of the space, was my architectural thesis advisor back in school.
Amazing.
And so I've supported her along with the team to really create the space that you see today. And it was really about, again, creating that safe space for a specific community.
Yeah.
And they really do that through providing affordable workshop spaces and also exhibition spaces for artists.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how that's grown. And also the coolest thing is that they provide opportunities for people who want to experiment on a skill.
Right.
And actually use this as a starting point for,
for
them to initiate something cool.
I mean, when I walk in, and I've been told so many times, you know, Christchurch, whatever.
Yeah.
And I walk into places that I wish were in LA.
Yeah.
I like, why doesn't LA, like, how about, what's it called? Not Little How, the Little Eatery?
Yes, the Little High Eatery.
Little. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. And you can awesome. See that, right?
It's like a collective. Yeah, the energy is amazing.
And I think that's what post-earthquake really helped, is actually it shook up a lot of like energy. And what that does is that we are now a collective of networks. Like we don't see us as nodes, like Ministry of Awesome is a node, or, you know, Exchange is a node, but we all work together to foster this sort of collective impact.
I love it.
And believe it or not, we have over, I think, 15 different co-working spaces.
What?
And yeah, we have
That's a lot.
It's a lot compared to, you know, like other cities, like in terms of population ratio.
Yeah.
We have a lot of these spaces because we believe that collectively we can we can provide spaces for individuals to thrive in a space where that we can share skills. And, you know, I see a lot of people, even today I see one of the tenants that I Awesome HQ are popping into Exchange, and the next day they would go to Biz Dojo, or they would go to the Collect, and we all sort of co-share a lot of these energy and the skills.
You have more co-working spaces than we have in Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, we work together. We come together on a regular basis to share and share our struggles,
and also
share our successes.
Yeah.
And we're called the collective of co-working spaces in Christchurch.
Okay, maybe a dumb question, but is there enough demand for that many co-working spaces in a small... I mean, I know it's a big city, small city. It's like a big city, but now small city.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, like a lot of the different co-working spaces do have their struggles to fill spaces. But then again, you know, like we work together to help each other out.
Yeah.
So if someone comes in and said, hey, I want to do this. And it's like, actually, our space doesn't really do that. Yeah. But we know this other space.
Yeah.
So again, we're sharing that energy. And in the last year or even the last 6 months, we've seen a big influx of international sort of entrepreneurs come in. And I think that has been enabled because New Zealand just started this what's called the Global Impact Visa, which allows global entrepreneurs to come in to test their ideas within New Zealand.
It's amazing.
And yeah, again, it's that sort of that energy, that sort of international global connection that enables Christchurch, specifically in New Zealand, to thrive and
So rad. Yeah. Okay, and what's next for you? Where do you want to take your company from here?
Where do I want to? I want to firstly start to work with multiple organizations across the board, whether it's community-based or corporates or architectural city-making organizations
I
or education.
I want to connect you to the girl in with Architecture Day in LA.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Would be amazing. Yes, I have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I also run Pachaksha Nights as well, which is, I don't know if you know the 2020 format. So Pichikucha means chit-chat in Japanese, and it's a global movement of over 1,000 cities around the world that runs these nights based on one format, and it's a presentation format using 20 slides, and each slide plays for 20 seconds.
Okay.
And you can use that format to present anything. And so I am the city organizer in Christchurch.
Wait a second. Is this the thing I've been seeing about in TechCrunch where it's like a happy – it's like a the new happy hour of like PowerPoint presentations or something?
I think so. Like there's different ways of I guess, presentation format. Yeah. But this specific format has is really about that creative and growing that creative community around the world using the succinct way of presenting.
Yeah.
And the initiators were these expats and expat architects in Tokyo that just said, hey, architects talk too much. Let's design something that we can actually fast pace and go like fast, quick fire presentations so we can communicate with each other about our amazing ideas and concepts for the world.
This is awesome. How can people find out more? Like, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, come to see my website. It's eacuration.space or email me at erica@eacuration.space.
And can you spell it for us?
Yeah, so it's erica@eacuration.space.
Perfect. Is,
yeah.
And if you had one ask for everybody listening, something that they could do to further celebrate you in your success, what would that ask be?
So I have made my own hashtag, and you can follow me on social media, and it's #CHCHAmbassador. I love Christchurch, and I want more people to come and see what we're doing in Christchurch, because you don't see a lot of this sort of, you know, hip and awesomeness through the media. So come in. I would love to host you in my home, also in our city. I run city tours with visitors just because.
So cool.
And so, yeah, follow me on Chicha Ambassador.
And can you spell it, the hashtag for us again?
Yeah, so it's CHCH Ambassador.
Well, cool. Is there anything that you wanted to say that you didn't say?
I think definitely encourage people to follow the Woman in Tech podcast, because I think having this conversation is awesome. And I love people coming to us and say, hey, we want to find out more about what Christchurch has to offer to the world. So thank 100%. You so much.
Of course. Thank you for being on the show. You guys make sure to connect with Erica and say hello at Women in Tech on all the socials at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
UpGuard, one of my favorite companies in Mountain View, combines asset discovery, security ratings, and vendor questionnaires for the only complete cyber risk solution. Not only do they keep us safe online, they empower women in tech internally. They focus on hiring female engineers to make sure that we rise to the top. So I welcome you to take a look at their job opportunities from Mountain View to New York, New York to Sydney, Australia. They are a company worth exploring. Their mentorship culture is magnetic. Mention the Women in Tech podcast when you apply. Just as they celebrate women in tech, we want to celebrate you too. So make sure to let us know when you've reached out to UpGuard, and we'll make sure to feature you on the Women in Tech social channels. We believe in you. UpGuard.com. Visit them for yourself. You'll see exactly what I mean. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.